The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about Wish Day. So Make-A-Wish Ireland today are celebrating Wish Day, and we are very, very happy to support them in that. It gave us great pleasure and great pride to do so last year and to be asked to do it again this year, and indeed right across the station all week. We've been hearing some incredible stories. We spoke to Kira about her son Sam a little bit earlier on this show in the week, and in just a moment we're about to hear another amazing story about the work that Make-A-Wish Ireland do, the lives that they touch, and just how impactful they can be. So 364 days of the year, the most important people in the story are the recipients of those wishes. Today you are the important person, because Wish Day is all about you fundraising so that they can do that work up and down the country. We are at about 77,000 euro. So 77 grand. I was hoping we would get to 80,000 euro by the end of the show. Like, we are just 3 grand short of it and we still have 2 hours to go. So, I mean, if we put the shoulder to the wheel, we should get through that 80,000 mark before this hour is over, let alone by 7 o'clock. So let's try and get there. 77,000 euro. Let's try and get to 80,000 euro if we can by 6 o'clock this evening. We do it by donating. makeawish.ie/donate. So go to makeawish.ie/donate. Donate anything you can and we will get from 77 to 80. Let's do it. While you are doing it, while you are logging on to makeawish.ie/donate, let's hear about how important this organisation is. Joining me in studio is Catherine and her son, Billy. Billy is 15 years old now, massive, massive boxing fan, which is something I suspect, Billy, we're going to be talking about in the context of the wish in just a moment. You're both very, very welcome. But Catherine, can we start with you and maybe from your point of view, talk to us a little bit about the diagnosis. Remind me, how long ago was it?
We got a diagnosis in September of last year.
Okay.
And it had all started really in the summer of last year. So I suppose up until then, Billy was and still is, you know, very active. He loves his sports. He loves his lots of friends. He's very outgoing, very confident. And I suppose a lot of that kind of was taken away from him when he got his diagnosis in September. So it was a case of really, I suppose, the shock was really the very, very worst part of it. It was actually wretched feeling. And I suppose the disbelief, it was just utter disbelief that this could actually happen and had happened to Billy. And the first 10 days, Kieran, I suppose, were the worst, because prior to us actually starting the treatment, you're kind of just left in no man's land and you don't really know, you know, if you're coming or going. And you kind of hope that it's actually not true, and then you actually start to realise that it is true, and then you hope that you can take it away from him, but you can't. He had to do it himself, and we had to just kind of help him through it, you know.
And could I ask, and pardon my ignorance, but in a situation like that where Billy is kind of is a minor, but you know he's not a little tot or anything. Exactly. Are you in the room, Billy, for the diagnosis?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there when they told me.
What was that like? If you're able to put it into words,
it was just, I suppose, I was sat there and it says, "We have your results back from the biopsy of your neck," and then they told me it's lymphoma, and I obviously didn't know what that meant. And then she says it's a type of cancer, and then I was just kind of just shocked for a second, and you're just in bits. Then after that, just wanting to get home, want to just be finished, like stop doing everything. And it's tough.
And as your mom says as well, I assume then you want to get on with treatment almost immediately. Like, if you could be told it was in the next room, you probably want to just get in there and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, once I got to know my plan, it went quicker than I expected. Like, my timetable for each week, what I have to do, and drug-wise and all that.
So there's different protocols, and once you get your protocol from crumbling. You kind of just, Billy just kind of put his head down and he just really got on with it. He didn't complain at all. He never asked why, me, any of that kind of stuff. And like so much was taken away from him at that point, Kieran, because he wasn't allowed to play any sports.
Yeah.
Like boxing was his big thing and he had great plans for like last autumn for competing and stuff like that. Been training hard over the summer. And he plays, you know, football and he's in school, he does rugby as well. So it was, that was, that I think that was very hard as well to kind of keep your head up while so much was, you know, being taken away from him. But Crumlin were so good and they have, you know, the protocol and Billy was involved, you know, in every step of it and they spoke to him. It wasn't just us because it was him, you know, he was 14 at the time.
It probably gives you something, I guess, instead of thinking about the cancer, you can think about once the protocol is there, you think about, right, what's the next thing or what's today's thing I have to do?
Yeah. It would have been, for the first month, it would have been a full week up in Crumlin. We'd have to stay in a hotel, stay in Dublin, and then we would have gotten to go home after that week. Then the following week, we would be up for 3 days, was it?
Mm-hmm.
We would have been up for 3 days. And then we would have been up for 1 day the following week. Mm. And then the following week I'd have that off. Then it was the same the next month. Then I got a scan and we was after getting good news there saying it's clearing up nicely, but we just have to do another 2 months just for protocol reasons, whatever.
Yeah.
So then we did the last 2 months and went by quick enough, like.
And to pick up on a point you're... Ron was making as well about the kind of the sport and activity. I guess someone like in your position and your age and is doing so much sport, it's kind of an outlet. You know, if there's other stuff going on in your life, at least there's this thing I can go and do and I forget about everything else happening. And probably the time you need it most, you're told, well, actually, you know, because of that thing, you can't do the sport.
Yeah.
That must have been hard.
Yeah, because I would have just after been making it like I was at my peak at that point in boxing. Like, I was boxing for Leinster. I was winning the whole time. And it was just, everything was going right, like, until then. And then it was all just taken away. And then all the progress, it was, like, for nothing.
And, Catherine, how did ye find dealing with this?
I suppose it's life-changing. Once you get that diagnosis, everything changes and everything falls away and no one can actually, you know, prepare you for, you know, what you have to watch your child go through and you can't do it for them.
You take it on your shoulders.
Like we, you know, that those first 10 days, I say I prayed to every god and devil just if they could take it away from him, you know, and we could carry it for him, but we couldn't do that. He had to do it himself and he did a really great job. And it is, I suppose, you know, your outlook changes after that. You know, things, you look at things differently. And I suppose any other family who's gone through it will know what I mean, you know, when I say that, because everything does change. And we're obviously very grateful that Billy is... his treatment was successful and he's in recovery now and he's doing really well.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, your heart is just broken.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
How is your outlook different today then? What things do you look at differently?
I try not to sweat the small things anymore. Mm. Like, they just do not matter. You know, when you look at things in a bigger scheme like that, when everything is taken away from you, just like that. Your outlook changes. I suppose you're grateful for, you know, smaller things in life. And, you know, the future is promised to no one. So I suppose just trying to really live in the moment and be grateful that we have two healthy children now. And we'll continue on what we're doing and to get us all back, you know, to where we were.
So boxing's been mentioned a couple of times. This was the focus of the wish.
Yeah.
So tell us, Billy, from your point of view. So this appears as kind of a possibility in the horizon that, you know, you could get to do something. Was it always going to be boxing related?
Well, I was saying there was talk about Katie Taylor coming to Ireland, going to Tree Arena to box, and Shai says like this would be a good opportunity now to be able to go even just
tried,
go there.
To get tickets, do you remember, in April?
Yeah, we tried to go in April.
Couldn't. No. Two computers going at the time trying to get
sure look,
on
yeah.
Ticketmaster, but we had no luck then.
I says, try go to the Katie Taylor fight with the Make-A-Wish. So, Mam was after applying for the Make-A-Wish, and I took it to my room and was writing down stuff, and I says, get some VIP tickets, ringside tickets. And I says, if I'm going to go to Katie Taylor, I'm going to have to get a suit as well.
Why stop with the tickets? Go
yeah,
on.
Yeah, so I got myself a suit as well then, provided by Make-A-Wish. About a week before the fight, we went into Carlo, and they already knew they were in contact with Make-A-Wish, and they already knew like I was coming in, so they were ready.
Special
for me.
Treatment, like.
Yeah. And I got my suit in the end, and
he came out of the dressing room, you know, he was trying on these different suits, and he came out of the dressing room, and he came out, my 7 meters just went. And he didn't look like a 15-year-old. He looked like a groom or something.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, oh, my God. But that was a really great evening. Like, to see that he was so happy when he put that suit on him. Like, do you know what I mean? It was really, really lovely. Like,
and what was the fight like?
Oh, it was good. We would have been there for about 6 hours.
Yeah.
There. It started at 5. And then there was about 10 fights on the night, I'd say. And there would have obviously been the two big ones, which was Gary Cully as the fight before Katie, and then Katie would have been the main event. And then there was a load of undercards, like just young and upcoming boxers. And we went there, we were watching all the younger boxers fighting, the up and comers, and we were just enjoying ourselves, really. We got to meet
David Diamante.
We met Eddie Hearn then as well.
We met Eddie Hearn on the weigh-in day.
Before.
They'd arranged us to go and see Katie Taylor at weigh-in then as well, which was great as well.
And everybody else was weighing in. We got to sit at the front. One of the girls from
Matchroom Boxing.
From Matchroom Boxing.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was taking care of us there, and she reserved some of the seats up the front. And
nice.
Got stem seats, and we met Eddie.
And afterwards, you met Katie then, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, afterwards then, after the fight, obviously. She was going around the ring, and we went down, and she was coming around, and she came around, we were speaking to her, and she would have obviously known my past trainer. His son would have boxed in with Katie in the Olympics.
Yeah, Darren, yeah.
Darren O'Neill. So I was talking to her about him and just in general, really.
Oh, listen, an amazing experience. What was it like for you then to have a kind of a night away from the health crisis, if we call it that?
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, Make-A-Wish, Sarah was she was like the fairy godmother. She had everything arranged from every small detail of where we were to go, what we had to do, you know, the hotel that we were staying in, the people that we're going to meet in Matchroom. So we went up on the Friday morning. We went into the weigh-in. That was out in DCU.
Mm.
And then we went into the city centre and we're in the hotel there. And it was just like, Kieran, you know, you forgot about everything for a whole weekend.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have a son who was sick, and we weren't parents of a son who was sick, and Sophia as well. You know, she wasn't a sister of, you know, somebody who was going through treatment. So it kind of just gave us, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, just to...
A bit of escapism or
escapism,
something, was it?
There you go, that's exactly it. And the whole thing from start to finish was just absolutely wonderful. The atmosphere in the arena was fantastic. Just the music, the lights, everything was just really, really special. Like, so we're very, very grateful that we, you know, got to go. It was super. You know.
And the health is good today, Billy?
Yep.
Good all stuff. Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I think a lot of people relieved to hear that at home as well. And It's a great testimony for Make-A-Wish and the work that they do. So thank you so much for speaking to us.
Yeah. Okay, great. Problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.